Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Someone who might know more about this than I do, and typically is a strong advocate for consumer rights, consumer goods, and of course an industry that plays such a critical role in making sure that we are fed, we are healthy, and the products that we can consume can be tracked, traced, monitored, and adequately delivered to our homes and pantries, is Zinhle Tshikwe, CEO of the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa. Zinhle, such a pleasure to speak to you again.
Yes, good evening, Gugu. It's really always nice to speak to you, and good evening to yourself as well as your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that there's quite a lot to talk about, and the main purpose for our conversation tonight is really to get your reflections and response to what you'd like government to focus on as it leads these coalitions. Before we get there, though, I just want to squeeze in the question we got from our voice note. One of our listeners asking about the product recall around Nestle. I know that you might not be very close to understanding the ins and outs, but your thoughts just on the news updates that we've had. Nestle, is there any feedback on the concerns around added sugar in our baby food? And maybe you can also share your thoughts around the Benylin pediatric syrup where no traces of diethylene glycol were found.
Yes. So what I can just maybe try and reassure South Africans is that having the recall, the system's recall, is there exactly for the protection for consumers as well as patients. So whenever there's a product recall, you must just be assured that the industry, the manufacturer, has found that they have been, according to a regulation that we adhere to as an industry, because with each and every product that is produced in South Africa, there's regulations, there's laws, and there is guidelines in terms of what needs to go into each product and what are the ranges within that product, that whether it's sugar or anything else that needs to be within for safe consumption. So I think the recall process, whenever the systems, our member systems, there is any triggers to identify that is maybe an issue that has come up, then that's why we do product recall. So I think it's just a huge reassurance that the process is undertaken, and we have had a number of these product recalls, and just to reassure South Africans that we do not consume food that is not good for consumption. With regards to Benylin, we are working closely with, there is a new regulation that SAPRA has taken out to put in, to ensure that we are following within any product that is produced in South Africa, follows the GS1 standard in terms of product safety, patient safety, so that these issues of recall, traceability, and tracking of where was it issued, where did it go, what batch number went to which country, and what batch number was sold at whatever pharmacy is ensured. And that regulation is currently being been reviewed by industry and submitting for position and comments. And for sure, it is going to go through. And when it does go through, it is again an added reassurance that we are really being looked after as consumers and patients.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is something that we typically take for granted. And I can imagine there might be some listeners who say, hold on, we're taken for care of and not taken advantage of. But that's only products that you get perhaps in recognized grocery stores, the big retailers, versus what we see in the township economy. And this is a concern that you've also typically raised. So how do we strike that balance, that whether I'm buying it from ShopRite, Checkers, or Wama Dlamini and Abdul and partners, that I'm getting the same product right across the board?
It is a challenge in the South African environment. And it's a challenge that we are, the Consumer Goods Council, are working to try and resolve. As I've spoken to you before, we do issue barcodes within our GS1 South Africa business that we do. And we are, already, for sure, tomorrow during our board meeting, we're going to be launching an app, which is a consumer trust app, which is, again, we're working closely with SAPRA on that, so that each consumer, whether it's medicine or food, you can scan that barcode. It goes to the verified data registry that is that each producer or each manufacturer puts and loads it themselves and make sure that it's all verified and it's captured in a standard manner. So that app is really going to be a game changer for the industry, for the consumer, because now you're going to be able to scan the product, and you can be able to see who's the rightful owner of that product. You can see which organization it comes from, when was it registered, and where. And the good thing about it, it's not only barcodes that are issued in South Africa, it's barcodes that are issued anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest challenges that we are facing, and I think I would just want to take this opportunity to just maybe educate consumers and this, especially SMEs, what we have found is that SMEs will go to other economies. I'm going to make an example of China. And when they go and produce in China and package their products in China, they buy the barcode in China, which is fine because we can track that product. It's GS1 China. But then when it comes here in South Africa, you see when the producer in China registers that barcode, they do not put yours and my name. They put their own name. Mm. So when it comes back here into South Africa, and now you're trying to get your product into a retail store, and then you say, I have a barcode, a valid barcode, but it does not give you ownership of that product. And it's a fortunate thing. I was recently in Rome, and I met with GS1 China, yes. And they're interested in obviously in working with us. And I told them, I had evidence of this, and I said, this is a challenge that we are dealing with in South Africa. How do we resolve this? And it gave us some insight. And we look into saying, if we are going to be working closely with China with regards to how do we create the, while the manufacturing is happening in China because of economies of scale, which is good, but how do we make sure that the ownership is given to the SMEs who are South Africans? So what they said, when any product that is produced in China, the government in China says that barcode must have a GS1 China. Because I remember I have told you before, GS1 is in 117 countries. And GS1 China produces similar barcode, does the same work that we do within GS1 South Africa. And GS1 government in China has said any product that is produced in China must have a GS1 China barcode. But the problem when it comes here and you have, as a packaging, you package it as, let's say, lotion. Mm-hmm. But when we scan the barcode and retailers say, okay, we want to take your product for market access, then they're going to say it's not written Zinke. Cold drink or whatever, but it's a Chinese owner. So then the retailer can say, we cannot take this product because issues like product recall, yes, are really reliant on who owns, who's the brand owner and who owns the product, how was it manufactured, because government regulations and compliance issues requires we know what ingredients, where were they sourced, and what, even if it's an agricultural, what pesticides were, sure, were used, what, how the soil was prepared. So there's these, all these requirements and compliance issues that we need to, at the end of the day, for our own safety as consumers. If now your product is written, I mean, the barcode is belonging to a company in China that we do not know, and you, and on the packaging is something else, retailers will not be able to take the product to market.
And I'm glad you mentioned this, because this speaks to you as innovators with your peers in China are already having these conversations, but what further needs to take place from a policy point of view? Because I'm assuming that, hey, it's a high-level conversation that also needs to make its way down to make sure that whatever we import through our ports, through our cargo planes, you know, there's also a monitoring at this level, entry level, for us as consumers to be mindful of.
Definitely. I mean, I just want to firstly say we are able to track a product as long as it's issued by a GS1 registered entity or anywhere in the world. And some of the other products, like we call them resellers, because when it started GS1 more than 50 years ago, as it innovates, as it grows, it stops the numbers. And those numbers, because they cannot give you ownership, that there's new numbers that were started. So these are the new numbers that...
An interesting question quickly, I just want to throw in there, yeah. Zinke, how do we identify a GS1 company? Because I've just logged on and I do see that there's a website that says buybarcodes.co.za.
Oh, I know. There's a lot. So, I mean, you need to look at GS1 barcode. Like in South Africa, there's GS1 South Africa, there's GS1 China, there's GS1 USA, there's GS1 Kenya. In Africa, there's GS1 Namibia, recently approved GS1 Rwanda and Angola, there's GS1 Nigeria, there's GS1 Egypt, so the GS1 Mauritius. So as long as you need to say GS1 name of the country, So, as, I mean, we will find organizations such as by Barcode. They would claim that they're registered GS1 numbers, but at the same time, they do tell you that we're not giving you the ownership of the product. And if you want the ownership of the product, you need to go to GS1 South Africa, for instance, in our case, because we have had instances like that. Mm-hmm. So that is why it's important for consumers to buy an authentic GS1 barcode. And yes, our processes might be a little bit long, rather than other suppliers of barcode, but the reason why it's long, because you need to make sure and verify and make sure that you are the rightful owner and you are an entity, and all of these other issues are addressed. Because at the end of the day, that product needs to be able to be tracked and traced, needs to be recalled if there's an issue that is, something has been identified that is wrong with that product, so that for safety, patient safety and consumer safety.
100%. I'm glad that you mentioned this, because it does seem as though there's a lot that we need to focus on. The innovation is there, the technology is there, yeah. The regulation is there, but it just seems as though there's a lack of the necessary political will and implementation. And this is also costing your sector, right?
Definitely. I mean, what we would like to see, and it's what we have been advocating with our government, when China, GS1 China told me that the government in China says, any product that is produced in China must have a GS1 China barcode. That's what we need in South Africa, because that's what gives you, number one, nationalism, number two, proudly SA, proudly produced product, and proudly, or even if you're packaging it in South Africa, proudly packaged in South Africa, because then you know at some point in the value chain, jobs were created in South Africa.
And that's important, because it's the sustainability of jobs. And I think you're also raising an important theme that has come through, not only post the elections, but for every South African who shares their thoughts with us on the show, is that job creation does need to be prioritized. Is your industry and are your partners and peers looking at ways and innovative solutions to bring this about? And I only ask this because in my mind, I'm also thinking about the concerns that were recently raised by the Cane Growers Association, who raised concerns about the sugar tax refineries also coming under pressure. So it seems as though there might be isolated issues, but they are issues nonetheless.
But no, I mean, we are in the same situation as the cane growers, because they are the millers, we are the users, from my members' perspective. Mm-hmm. The beverage companies that we represent are the ones that are buying sugar in South Africa. And the HPL, the Health Promotion Levy, it is putting a huge strain in the production of sugar in South Africa, and it makes sugar in South Africa really expensive, which then, as users, they might say, okay, it's best if we go and source sugar elsewhere outside of South Africa, but then it's killing the South African industry, sugar industry, which we do not want. Mm-hmm. And that industry has already gone through a lot, if you have to think about it. In 2021, July, the sugarcane farms were banned in KZN, and we had floods, which we are continuing to have floods in KZN, as we just recently had last week. So there's a lot of climate changes that are happening. So we really need to make sure that the sugar industry in South Africa is sustainable and it's managed in a better way. And we do not put in policies and regulations that are going to even put a strain and make sure that sugar becomes even more expensive, which then users might look and say, it's best that we go and source sugar elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Then we go in, and they could possibly go and import sugar rather than, you know, buying sugar in South Africa, killing an industry, killing jobs, and killing opportunity. So, as I'm speaking to you today, we just want the new government to really consider all of these regulations and acts and that are put in place that are hindering in terms of promotion for South African and South African businesses to be sustainable and be able to produce and create jobs.
100%. I'm glad that you highlight that all we need really is a government that will listen. And you've been raising these concerns, sure, if I'm not mistaken, since the end of last year, Zinhle, when we started talking to you.
Long before that, we were not as vocal, if I may put it that way. We've always been going to government. And I think the change in direction for our board was like, maybe we're coming into a new war with old weapons of writing letters and asking to meet with ministers, and you know, and they were not really taking us to account because we're not putting these issues in public. And we find that because we are sector, and I mean, we have a community space in sector, and any change, whether it's in food prices going on, people, consumers will think it's the sector. Whereas they're not understanding the impact of what happens in terms of creating that product that you're going to find in your shop.
Exactly.
Because those are all the issues that increase the levies, the regulations, the compliance issues that just increase food just way before it gets to your shelf.
Exactly. So, Sinclair, I do want us to wrap it up on a positive note. You have been crisscrossing the globe, attending multiple meetings, as you've told us, speaking to various stakeholders and really trying to source the solutions that we need to implement. Help us understand just how South Africa fares next to its international counterparts, because it seems as though we have some themes that are working in our favor that we need to keep going.
Definitely. I mean, I might just say, South Africa, we are a great country. Like, as I tell you, I told you earlier on with this app, right now we have China interested in our app. We have, like, even in Africa, we have Kenya, we have Uganda. They're all looking to say, how can we tap to it? Tunisia, they're all saying, how can we work together? Because we have no idea what an amazing organization that I will lead, and the people that work in the organization that I lead, which tells you South Africans are capable, South Africans are willing for employment. It's just the opportunities that we need to have. And I promise you, because GS1 is a global organization, as I have said, and the work that we put in from an African company, they are always amazed because of the output that we produce each time. You know, from an industry association perspective, I think in the work and the services that we put for our members, it's really, really important, and it's really groundbreaking. There's so many opportunities that are there for our members and for the members then to ensure that they are able to create employment, because that's what with this new government is coming to us as well to say, how do we then go and partner with government for opportunities to create employment and eliminate inequality and poverty, because we have to feed people. We saw there's a study to say children are hungry, there's poverty line, our children are stunted. So it's about nutrition. I mean, rather than putting in HPL, do a dietary study to see what type of food should we be doing in South Africa. Should we be making sure that it's a minimum requirement that each food must have these vitamins and nutrition?
Mm.
So this is what we want government to start doing, to say, rather than putting in levies, let's do a South African food dietary study to say, what are South Africans eating and how can we make an impact from a food value chain? I promise you, from a member perspective, my members are always adhering to business. And yes, there is challenges from an informal sector, but we are working closely with informal sectors to say, how can we enable you? How can we make sure that we work with WNR CETA to fund SMEs? And we have had nearly 120 SMEs that we have worked with, and we're putting them into retail, and they are sustainable. There is some good stories to tell.
Definitely. I'm so glad that we left it off on a positive note, because as you always say, we do need to acknowledge the amazing innovative solutions we have under the Consumer Goods Council and the various members that you represent. I'm hoping that much of your conversation and our conversation tonight is reaching the right ears. Said as we move forward with a new government, there are efforts to make sure that they prioritize food safety in South Africa and the GS1 barcode. GS1.
Yeah.
Got you. Perfect.
Yes.
That's the one.
Thank you so much, Google. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure speaking to you, Sisinke. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Sinclair Chikwe, who's the CEO of the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa. And as you've heard, some amazing themes that we need to be mindful of, reading the barcodes of products and items that we purchase. And I know it's a difficult one, right? Because sometimes our options are restricted to the budget we have in our pockets, what it is that we can afford. And this does lead to perhaps difficult decisions being made about what you buy and where you choose to buy. But as has been mentioned, because there is a high rate of unregulated fake food literally doing the rounds in South Africa, we do need to be mindful of where we shop. So if you can avoid it, rather stick to the big retail brands where the food is transported safely, where if there's a recall, they'll refund you, and of course where you also get some a better understanding and a sense of safety. I know it's not easy to do, as I say, because this just purely depends on the resources available. And if my friend is closer than ShopRite, that's likely going to be your option. But let's be a lot more responsible. And let's also report these places when you find fake foods and make sure that correctional services takes the right action. Yeah, they need to take action.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.